Good morning, Calvary Derby Hill. It's good to be with you this morning again via the internet or however you're watching this on whatever device. It's always good to gather together by whatever means we can to hear God's word and to be together as we hear it and are able to speak it to one another. I'm excited to continue our series through the Beatitudes in Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 today is what we'll be looking at. I'm going to read it. I know it's already been read, but I'll just read it again as you pull it up again on your phone or grab your Bible again from the coffee table. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." While I was growing up in New York, we would take a yearly trip out to my grandparents' cottage that was on a lake. And it was one of the best parts of summer was going on that trip, finding out when we were going to do that. And it usually happened over July 4th weekend, so they'd have fireworks over the lake. I looked forward to being out on the boat in the lake and just enjoying that, or we would have fires at night and we would roast marshmallows, sleeping next to the lake while the waves crashed into the shore. But my absolute favorite part about going to the lake and going to the cabin was fishing. Absolutely loved that. Didn't fish one bit the entire year, but that one week or a few days that we were up there, we would fish nonstop. Absolutely love just throwing out the line and waiting for those fish to bite. And then with my siblings, you know, you get out on the dock and you start coming up with competitions, right? I had two older brothers, and so it's the little guy versus the big guys. And so it was who can catch the biggest fish, and then who can catch the most fish, or the strangest looking fish, or who can get a boot to come out of the lake. It was just all about fishing. So whether we were sunburned, or if it was raining, or if it was dark outside, I wanted to be out fishing. That's what I was doing, and just satisfying that itch for fishing. But because it was in the summertime, you'd be out there for a couple of hours, and you start to get thirsty, right? And sometimes if you didn't wear that hat, you have the reflection of the sun off the water and off the dock, and you start getting sunburned under your eyes, and it would just get really hot, and you're thirsty. And I remember specifically this one time, I was so thirsty after fishing. I came in and went into the cottage to look for something to drink. And my mom had just come back from making a run into town to pick up groceries or whatever. And she had in her hand a cold root beer. Now, I don't drink a lot of soda or pop or Coke or whatever you want to call it. But root beer is my downfall. I love root beer. And she had this cold root beer that was locally made. And I was like, can I have some of that? And she gave me my own mug of root beer. And I still remember hearing the fizz when you popped it off. And it sounded so good because I was so thirsty. And that cold root beer, it took away the thirst that I had and built up. And I still remember that to this day, many years later. My thirst had been satisfied by root beer. When we come to verse 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to teach that there's a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that will be satisfied, that will have an end, that as we build up a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, there's coming a day when it will be satisfied. In fact, that longing, the pursuit of righteousness, will be complete in the person of Jesus Christ. This verse is going to show us how to pursue righteousness, and it gives us hope in the possession of righteousness. So how are we to pursue righteousness now? And then what does it look like to possess righteousness? How do we have righteousness? So first, the pursuit of righteousness. Jesus is teaching on the mountain. continues with the observation that those who pursue righteousness with their whole being will be satisfied. And the pursuit of righteousness may not be something that you and I think about every single day or really think about often, but Jesus makes it clear that those who are blessed, those who have a life of flourishing or a right relationship with God, make righteousness a pursuit in their life. When we pursue something, sometimes we think of a degree. I'm pursuing such and such a degree, or I'm pursuing such and such a job, or maybe we're going to this destination. So what does the pursuit of righteousness look like? What does it look like to make righteousness a destination? Jesus, as the master illustrator and the master communicator, gives us two ways in which the pursuit of righteousness manifests itself in our life. As a believer, as a disciple of Jesus, what does it look like to actually want righteousness in your life? And it looks like hunger, and it looks like thirst. So let's look at each of those and think about them and why Jesus wanted us to have in our minds the thought of hunger and the thought of thirst when we thought of righteousness. So let's think of hunger. Blessed are those who hunger. The pursuit of righteousness for the believer looks like the pursuit of food when we're hungry. Being here in America, we often walk into the grocery store and we have 35 different options to pick from. Just recently, I went to go pick up tortillas, and I took Caitlin with me to the store. And after we had looked at 5 or 6 different options of different sizes, different seasonings, different brands, different softer or softest shell, we picked one, and then we got home, and I had actually bought the wrong size. I needed to buy a little bit of a smaller size. We just have so many options for food. But then I think back to my time when I was in Ghana, Africa. And I can count on one or maybe two hands the different types of meals that I had for months. And this is the life that people have, that they're actually hungry for food, any type of food that they can get. We understand that food, and we understand different degrees of hunger, right? Your children may inform you, or your grandchildren may inform you, that they're hungry after 15 minutes, 15 minutes right after breakfast. They need second breakfast, and they need Levensies, and they need tea time, and they need all of these things because they're starving, and they have to have food right then and there. And we understand they're not actually hungry, and they're not actually starving. But in their minds, they have to have it. And so they're calling out, I'm hungry. I need food to satisfy this. You see, hungry people normally are not the people that we want to go hang out with, right? They're usually irritable. They're usually cranky. They have one track mind in, what are we going to eat? What type of food are we going to eat? When are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat? How long is it until our next meal? In America, we call this hangry, right? Jesus, however, comes in and he says, the person who's hungry for righteousness is blessed. They're the ones who are going to flourish. They're the ones who have a right standing with God. How can that be? How can Jesus take something that we look at and we go, somebody who's hungry, we need to take them from being hungry and we need to take them from that state and bring them to being full. And Jesus looks at the person who's hungry for righteousness and says, that person's blessed. Shouldn't it be the person who's full of righteousness is blessed, Jesus? Did you forget that? Before we answer how that can be, how Jesus can take that hunger and thirst and turn it to say, hey, the person who is hungry, the person who is thirsty is the one who's blessed, not full and satisfied. Let's look at the second illustration. It's being thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Now, water is essential for any type of life, any type of civilization. looks for water. I love looking at pictures from space at night, because you get to see all the cities lit up at night. And so you can kind of see, oh, there's New York City, there's Paris, there's Rome, there's London, there's Hong Kong, or whatever city is lit up at night. But then you go to Africa, and there's just darkness throughout the entire Sahara Desert. There's no water, so nobody lives there. There's no electricity, there's no light. It's dark because they need water. We understand that. You think of the ancient Near Eastern times. And even in our own times, when the pilgrims and the first settlers of America came over, they looked for water, and their main need was water and finding fresh water. So they settled around the Great Lakes and the Mississippi River and all of these things. We need water for life. Maybe you can even think in your own life of when you've gone hiking and you think you take enough water, but you didn't. And then you run out, and then you're just looking around for a stream. You're looking around for a stagnant pool of rainwater. You're looking for anything to help take away the thirst. We need water to survive. And that thirst is a good thing to say, you need something that will sustain you and keep you going. Think of this in the Bible with Jesus, the rich man, and Lazarus. You remember Lazarus was a poor man and covered with sores and destitute in life. The rich man, he had it all because he was rich. They both died. The angels take Lazarus to the side of Abraham to be comforted. The rich man is in a place of torment. The rich man looks up and sees Lazarus next to Abraham. And he asks, do you remember what he asked for? He doesn't ask for complete release from where he is. He doesn't ask for friends and family to come around him and comfort him while he's there, just to give him some sort of people to commiserate with him. No, he asks for mercy from Abraham in this form. He says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have Lazarus dip the end of his finger in a cup of water so he can have it drip on my tongue. What an absolutely horrifying request, isn't it? He was so thirsty and was in such torment from this insatiable thirst that he would have taken a drop. Well, as we've been thinking of food, of being hungry and thirsty, maybe as you're watching this, you realize, you know what, maybe I am a little bit thirsty. Maybe I am a little bit hungry. And the wonderful thing about recording this is you can pause it right here and you can go get your water bottle and you can go get a snack from the refrigerator. And I'll just stand here and I'll wait for you. But as we continue on, I want us to remember, because we just talked about the rich man and Lazarus with some water there. And the Bible is replete. It's full. There's tons of references to food and water. And I want to give you a few of those examples. You think of Psalm 42, 1 and 2, where the deer is panting for flowing streams. And so my soul, David says, my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I come and appear before God? Psalm 107, verses 4 through 6 say this, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Don't spend your money for that which is not bread. Don't labor for that which will not satisfy. Listen to me. Eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. John 4:14, Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become to him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Or Jesus again in John 6, 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3, and 1 Corinthians 3, 2, and Hebrews 5, 12 all talk about the diet of the Christian. I wanted to give you meat, but you need to be fed with milk, or you're like newborn babes who desire the milk of the word. What does it all mean for us? What does it mean for us when we look at Jesus' teaching and he says, you're blessed if you hunger and thirst for righteousness? We see that it's all throughout the Bible, hunger and thirst and being filled and being thirsty. But what do you notice about most of these places in Scripture? They're saying, if you're in a state that is hungry or thirsty, here's the solution, right? Come to Jesus for food and for water. Come to God who will satisfy your hungry and thirsty soul. And that's what all these passages say. But Jesus comes and he says, you know who the blessed one is? It's really the one who is hungry and thirsty. It's the one who has this need for righteousness. What in the world is he talking about? Jesus, don't you understand? It's not those who are hungering that are blessed. It's those who are full. It's those who have what they need. How can he turn that? And again, before we answer that question, I know I've been holding out on that for a little bit. Hang on just a little bit longer. How in the world can Jesus turn that? How can somebody who's hangry, how can somebody who's dying of thirst be the one who's blessed? I want to ask this question. What does it look like to hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do you see that? Like we know what it means and we know what it looks like when I'm hungry for some Twinkies. We know what it looks like when I'm thirsty for some root beer. That's all that's on my mind. That's all that I want. But what does it look like when I'm hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Because I can't go to the grocery store and buy a box of righteousness. I can't open a cold can of righteousness after I've worked in the garden. One commentator has suggested four ways, and I think this is right, that we hunger and thirst for righteousness. The first one is for in our own personal lives as Christians. We want to see righteousness in our lives. We want to see death destroyed. We want to see sanctification take hold in our lives, right? That's how we hunger and thirst for it. I don't want to talk like that anymore. I want to speak with love and with truth. I don't want to gossip anymore. I want to tell the truth. I don't want to look at those things anymore. I want to see things that are pure and lovely. I don't want to think about those things anymore. So that's what a hunger and thirst would look like. We want to be more like Christ. Well, a second way we pursue and we have hunger and thirst is that as we pursue sanctification, as we pursue putting sin to death and putting on righteousness, we realize we can't do it. And so we hunger and thirst for someone else to come and put righteousness on us. Right? You can think of in Isaiah where he says, all of your righteousness is like filthy rags. And we go, yes, I'm trying to stop thinking like this. I'm trying to stop doing these things, but I can't. I need another righteousness to come and be put upon me. And we hunger and we thirst for that righteousness that will come and be put on us. But another way in which we hunger and we thirst for righteousness is in our world. You know, we don't want racism to continue and be the norm in our day in life. We don't want homelessness and poverty to be as prevalent as it is in our community or in our world. We want righteousness to come and be the rule of the day. And we hunger for that and we thirst for that as we drive down the street and we see the homeless man, as we see on the news continual things that are just wrong and evil. And last, the last way that we want to see righteousness, that we hunger for it, is in the final coming of Jesus Christ. Not only do we just want righteousness to rule in our communities and we want things to be right, we want it to happen for the entire world. We want righteousness to reign from Beijing to Washington, D.C., from South Africa to London. We want to see the righteousness of Jesus Christ and of God reign. And we hunger and we thirst for that, because when we turn on the news, we see that it's not here yet. It hasn't satisfied our hunger for that. It hasn't taken away the thirst for righteousness. So in other words, our heart attitudes and our posture towards righteousness is one of desperation. You see, when the hungry person is genuinely and truly hungry, that's all they want. That's all they pursue. When someone is genuinely, authentically dying of thirst, all they want is water. They have to have it or they will die. And Jesus comes along and he says, those people are blessed when they hunger and thirst for righteousness. So our attitude towards righteousness is one of desperation. I have to have righteousness. I have to have it in my own life. I want it for my neighbor. I want it for the world. And the reason that Jesus can say that those people, here's the answer to the question. The reason Jesus can say that, the reason Jesus can say your hunger, your thirst for righteousness in this world and in your own life is resulting in a blessed state and being blessed, is because at the end, they will be satisfied. And Jesus, as the ruler of the world, as the Son of God, can say that with complete authority, and we can take that to heart and say, my hunger, my thirst, this dying that I feel like I'm having when the righteousness of God isn't adhered to and isn't going forward the way that I wanted to in my own life and in the life of my neighbor and the world, I can still say I'm blessed because I know there's a day coming when the possession of righteousness will be in all the world for me and for everyone here. You see, when we pursue something, we want to obtain it. And that brings us to the second point, the possession of righteousness. Possession of righteousness. No one enjoys going to a baseball game that gets rained out. You spend all this money, this time, and you get there, and then it's rained out, and you turn around, and you have to go back. No one enjoys starting a journey only to have to turn back because of a car accident or some unforeseen event that causes you not to be able to go. So those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness are not blessed unless there is a fulfilling and there is a satisfying of that hunger and thirst. And Jesus says, it is coming. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will one day sit down and feast and eat bread and drink to their satisfaction on righteousness. But the problem about righteousness that we need a lot of it in order to get into the kingdom of God. Later in the sermon, Jesus says, "If unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you don't get to enter the kingdom of heaven." It's verse 20. How in the world can my righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees? They're the ones who keep the law. They're the ones who obey God. They have it all together. I don't. All we have to do is turn on the TV and we see righteousness isn't leaping out of every corner. We scroll through Facebook and it's just full of arguments and bitterness and hate and anger and just straight up evil. And that's just the world around us. And then if you think about your own heart, then you say, I'm dying for righteousness because the same sin issue I had 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, I still have it today. Righteousness doesn't seem to take hold of my speech and my tongue. It doesn't seem to take hold of my eyes. or my hands, or my feet, my thoughts, the way that I want it to. Righteousness doesn't seem to be winning the day, and I'm hungering, I'm thirsty. I want this, Jesus. How can the righteous be righteous enough? How can we have satisfying righteousness? How can we have a possession of righteousness that isn't filthy rags? And the answer is Jesus. Jesus is our righteousness. He is the one who is our righteousness. There's no good works that can take away our own sin. There's no amount of coming to church or watching online services. There's no amount of going on missions trips or saying nice things or giving enough money to charitable organizations or even enough volunteer hours that can take the stain of sin away or give us any righteousness that puts us in a good standing with God. And that's where that hunger and that thirst comes from, because we say, we can't do this. We're bankrupt. Isn't that exactly what Jesus has already said? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. And we come here and we say, we are hungering and thirsting for righteousness because we don't have it. We can't get it. Where? And it's Jesus. Jesus, earlier in Matthew, says to John the Baptist, let these things be for now. In other words, Jesus had come to him for baptism, and John says, no, I need to be baptized. And Jesus says, no, let this be. Why? It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. It's Matthew 3:15. Jesus is the one who fulfills all the righteousness for us. The righteousness that you hunger for and you thirst for in your own life and for the world is satisfied and filled up in Jesus Christ. He is the one whom we pursue to have our hunger and thirst satisfied. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus has already told the woman at the well, you remember this, He is the living water. He is the bread of life. He is the one who satisfies the hunger and thirst. And that's why they're blessed. Because they realize their hunger and thirst leads them somewhere. It leads you to Jesus. It leads you to Christ. The pursuit for righteousness then, that hunger that you feel in the pit of your stomach, that thirst that you get in the back of your head for righteousness leads you to Christ. Because He's the only one who can satisfy it. And finally, we see the future righteousness will be established in the kingdom. When Christ is King of all, righteousness will rule. We long for that day. We anticipate that day. So when you turn on the news and you scroll through Facebook and you see these things that are evil, that are wrong, when you feel that the battle against sin is a losing battle again and again and again, remember that hunger, that thirst for righteousness doesn't lead you to being better. It doesn't lead you to just social activism. It leads you to Jesus, because He's the one who satisfies. He's the one who does those things. Maybe you're watching this and I don't know you. I don't know. You say, Caleb, I don't know you. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what thoughts I've had during this quarantine time. You don't know the words that I've texted out. You don't know the angry words. You don't know the things I've looked at. You don't know these things. You're right. I don't know them. But I know that the hunger and the thirst that you feel in your life, the emptiness, is leading you to Jesus. And dear Christian, the fight that we have for sanctification, the fight that we have for righteousness in this life has been won because Jesus is our righteousness. So we can repent and we can turn and we can go to our brothers and sisters and say, pray for me, help me in this. And we come together as we pursue Christ, who is our righteousness. I want to end with this application for you, dear Christian. And this might not be a super easy application to come to if you think about it. When you think of people who are hungry and thirsty, you're going to think of people who are on mission, right? They're going to find food and they're going to find water. And depending on their level of need, it depends on their purpose, right? See, if I've eaten an hour ago, but I kind of feel some hunger out, I might start looking around for something to snack on. But if it's been all morning and I've worked all day in the sun, I'm not looking for some potato chips. I'm looking for a steak. I'm looking for some lemonade, and not just one of my kids' sippy cups. I'm looking for a tall glass of cold lemonade, right? So the need leads me to the intensity of my pursuit. The application is this, then. How much righteousness do you and I need to be satisfied? How much righteousness do we need in our life to be satisfied for the day or for the week? Do we just need a few moments with Jesus to be content so that we can go be drowned in the blue sea of Facebook or the TV or a romance novel or the latest gossip or wherever we go? Are we content to look the other way when we see a need that we could meet? How much righteousness, then, satisfies your hunger and your thirst? Jesus tells us that the people who are hungry and thirsty are blessed. So ask yourself, how hungry and thirsty am I for righteousness? Because it's going to show up in your pursuit of Jesus and your love for your neighbor. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for your word. I thank you that it pierces into our heart, into our soul. I ask that as we hunger and thirst for righteousness in this world, that we would pursue you, that we would desire to be with Jesus, who is our righteousness. And we pray this in your name.